Every month we get to meet people whose individual stories are intertwined with the story of the region. Stories of Southern Oregon are compiled by Maureen Flanagan Battistella for the Southern Oregon Digital Archive, SODA, at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University. This month, Maureen is back with Stuart O'Neill, the executive director of Rogue Farm Corps. So instead of hearing about a historic farm this month, we'll talk instead about making new memories with new farmers, because making new farmers is what Rogue Farm Corps is all about. Stuart O'Neill, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You are not from the Rogue Valley and not from a rural area originally at all. What talk about your upbringing and what brought you here?
Sure. Well, I grew up outside of Washington, D.C. in a big urban and suburban environment, pretty far away from the farm world. I was one of those kids who grew up thinking that food came from the grocery store.
And so, no place before that. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And when I moved out to Southern Oregon to finish college here at SOU, I became enamored with the local region. I met some of the local farmers, some of the original pioneers of the organic farming movement here in the valley, and fell in love and never left, and found myself farming out in the Applegate Valley for about 6.5 years, working on a goat dairy operation with a good friend, and then landed this job with Rogue Farm Corps to help prepare the next generation of farmers.
So as a city kid, had anything really prepared you for the kinds of sights and smells that you would get out in the country, particularly on a goat dairy?
Not really. I mean, we would travel to the countryside as a kid every once in a while. There were horse farms not too far away. So, I mean, I had a little bit of an understanding of it, but I definitely had no real knowledge or experience with rural life or farming as a career. And in a lot of ways, that mirrors the experience of the folks that are coming through our education programs at Rogue Farm Corps. Most of these folks are, first-generation farmers who do not come from farming backgrounds. They're getting into this potential career path because they want to change the world.
How quickly did you take to it? I mean, it was total city slicker, stepping in the milk buckets, all that sort of thing? Were you a little more slick than that?
A little bit better than that. I mean, I'd been living in Southern Oregon for a long time before I actually started working and living on a farm. So I had some experience with visiting and getting to know some of the farmers before I dove in head first.
Did you kind of pick and choose, or I mean, was there something that appealed to you about a goat dairy in particular?
No, it was really just a kind of a random opportunity. A really good friend who had a farm business and was looking for a business partner and some support. And so my background was more in food service and production facilities around food service. And so there was sort of a natural marrying of talents there.
So you'd been on the end far removed from things like animals and row crops and
absolutely
things like that. So, but what was it like then to finally get out there?
Well, it was wonderful. I mean, it was one of the best experiences of my life. It was the hardest I've ever worked, for sure. But it was one of the most authentic chapters in my life, where we really were in tune with the rhythms of the day and the seasons and the animals. I felt really proud of providing food for the community and doing the hard work of farming, which we need. We obviously need a lot of people who are willing to do that.
It's not like living by an office clock. It's a very different sort of and calendar, it sounds
like. For sure. Yeah, we would get up at 5:30 every morning and, sometimes not go to bed until close to midnight, fixing things up in the cheese room.
Wow. So, what kinds of things needed to be fixed up in the cheese room?
Well, you're just tending to the products, turning wheels or, hanging cheese, different, stages of the process.
I understand on that, the goat dairy, there were some hard lessons learned there.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that I've learned is that you can have a lot of passion for farming, which certainly a lot of the young folks that come into our programs do. Like I said, they come here because they want to change the world. They want to, they want to give back to their community. They want to grow food. They want to get their hands in the dirt. Oftentimes, I think what's left out of that equation is that you need to be really a good business person as well. And I think some of our mistakes were typical mistakes that young farmers make, which is just we didn't really know how to run a viable business and didn't have the training or experience or knowledge to do so. And so I think one of the reasons that Rogue Farm Corps and other organizations like ours exist is to really give that first-generation farmer better understanding of what they're getting into so they can be a little bit better equipped when they get out there to start and run their own business.
I think you bring up a point that a lot of people, particularly not involved directly in agriculture, miss. It's not just knowing the land, knowing crops, knowing soil, knowing animals. It's also you're running a business here.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you've got to, deal with all kinds of issues that, folks don't think about when they're getting into it. I think there's a high learning curve to learn the skills of agriculture. And, of course, there's a really high learning curve to learn the skills of business. And agriculture exists with pretty narrow margins. So the room for error is very thin. And if you make a lot of mistakes, in those, you know, early years, they can be catastrophic.
Because, yeah, especially a bunch of little mistakes will add up to be, a big deal to
yeah,
the farm
absolutely.
Operation.
And, you know, especially now with the cost of land and the cost of startup being really high, you've got extra challenges on top of that as well. It's not just a difficult business to get into. It's a difficult business to maintain.
Stuart O'Neill is the executive director of Rogue Farm Corps and our guest in this month's edition of Stories of Southern Oregon. Maureen Flanagan Battistella back in the studio with me as well, the curator of the entire project. You can join us. Questions, comments, stories to share. 800-838-3760 over the phone or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So were you part of the creation of Rogue Farm Corps?
I wasn't, but I was in the Valley at the time it was started. The organization was founded in the Little Applegate Valley. Just over the hill here in around 2004. And it was a community of first-generation farmers, some of the pioneers of the organic movement out there in the Applegate. And they each had mentors in their lives that they could point to that were really instrumental in helping them get started. And so they wanted to create an organization to serve that purpose, to give back. And so they established Rogue Farm Corps with a very simple mission, which was to train and equip the next generation.
So if they had mentors, were they not able to mentor people?
They were doing it. There's been mentoring on farms in a very informal way for a long time. I mean, certainly farming is a skill that you learn by doing more than any other way. You can't really learn farming in a classroom or in a book. You really have to be out there farming. And so I think historically the way that people learn farming is they grew up on farms and they learned it from their parents and their parents' parents or whoever was running the farm. Well, if you now lose those generations and that family succession story, if you're wanting to get into it, how do you get into it? You need to find somebody, a farmer, who's willing to mentor you. And again, those arrangements have been happening in a lot of ways for a lot of years in a very informal way. And what we did with Rogue Farm Corps was really try to formalize that. So we created a curriculum that really is focused on developing skills over the course of the years. We have an entry-level internship program that starts with the basics, really trying to get functional on a farm. And then our advanced-level apprenticeship is about learning deeper skills and learning how to manage systems and learning how to run the business side of things. And all throughout that, we're also doing classes and farm tours and introducing folks to a wide variety of operations, a wide variety of farmers, so that they have more mentors than just the one that they're living with and training with full-time.
I know when we talked to the folks from Fry Family Farm a couple of months ago, that was a story where the daughters didn't think they'd come back to the farm business, but did. But Maureen, from your experience, I mean, does it seem like there are more people who are choosing not to come back to the family farm?
It's so complicated. There's so many pressures on agriculture today, on agricultural families. There are land use pressures, expanding city sprawl, the margins, as Stu talked about. There are some hopeful lights right now. Succession to female farmers, I think, is more prevalent now than has ever been in the past, and I think that's very hopeful. My question to you, Stu, you're primarily working in the Applegate, where there are kind of newer farmers and focused on organic farms, but the majority of land use here in Southern Oregon is not with those newer organic farmers. So
yeah.
How are you helping the broader agricultural picture?
Sure. That's a good question. I mean, we started out with the mission of training young farmers, and that was really designed specifically to train farming in a more sustainable method, smaller scale, local regional market access, organic methods, things like that. Those are the kinds of young farmers that are wanting to get into the business right now. So we did that for a number of years, and we kept running into this problem of all these young trained farmers who now still need to access capital and land to start farms.
And they weren't from here either, were
they? A lot of them are not from here, exactly. I mean, some are, but we're attracting people from all over the country. And in fact, this year we have our first international student placed in the program in the Eugene area. A woman from Africa is actually taking the program from South Africa.
Nice.
Through an international exchange program that we have. But so we started working in developing our farm preservation program, which really was designed to look upstream at the situation with the aging farmer population and the looming retiring farmer population. You know,
what is that average age?
The average age, well, they just came out with new statistics, and it's creeping up closer and closer to 60 every year in Oregon. We're actually a little bit older in Oregon than across the country, although this is a national problem. This is not just related
aging,
to Oregon. The farmer population is aging quite rapidly and has been steadily for a number of years. So we're at about 60 as the average age now, and we actually recently co-authored a report with OSU and PSU on the future of Oregon farmland and determined through our research that about 10.5 million acres of Oregon's farmland is expected to change hands in the next 20 years. That represents about 64% of all of our farmland. So that's a pretty big number. Mm-hmm. And so we really started looking at what can we do to support the retiring or near retiring farmers to get ready to prepare their farm and farm business for succession. We found that a number of them don't have succession plans in place, which is very troubling because if there's no succession plan in place, then when a crisis happens or a death happens, you know, oftentimes that's when decisions are being made, which is not the right time to make big, important decisions.
I talk to a lot of families, and I always ask the question, you know, have you talked to your kids about succession? You know, when did you have that conversation? Yeah. And I'm always surprised at how many families respond that they really haven't had those specific conversations.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think it's a very fraught and difficult conversation in all families to have. And I think maybe particularly in farm families where it's not just a house and an estate, but it's a right. business and it's a land base that maybe goes back generations.
Right.
It's a very emotional connection.
Well, yeah, the implications that come with it. Is like, I'm going to be too old to do this at some point. I'm going to die at some point. There's not things that we like talking
about.
Yeah,
and the farm might die with me if my children or grandchildren aren't willing to take it over, which is more and more the case. So working with retiring farmers, working with the folks that actually own the land here through our farm preservation program, we started a series of workshops that we call Changing Hands, which is really designed to, on the one hand, provide succession planning resources and tools and experience for the retiring farmers, and then on the other side, provide access to land and capital resources to the up-and-coming beginning farmers who don't have a land base to move on to. And try to figure out if there's a way to bring those two worlds together. Now, this is a big, complex problem that Rogue Farm Corps alone cannot solve. And like I said, it's not just here in the Rogue Valley. It's not just here in the state of Oregon. It's across the country.
Who are your partners working with these here?
Very closely here with OSU Extension, particularly the Small Farms Program, because it seems to be the future of where the younger farmers are going is more the small and medium scale farms, the more local regional markets. That's what the folks that are coming into our program are wanting to do. And, you know, we believe that that's really the future of farming in a more sustainable and ecological way. That'll also provide a better, you know, support for our local food system.
Stuart O'Neill is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange in this month's edition of Stories of Southern Oregon. Maureen Flanagan-Battistella, the curator of the series, back in the studio with us as well. You can join the conversation on the Exchange as we talk about farms in the future more than we talk about farms in the past, because this is what Rogue Farm Corps is all about. 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So the way you were describing it, Stu, it sounds like there's enthusiasm and people, but is the flood of people in anywhere close to the size of the stampede of people out?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I think, you know, we could certainly train more young farmers, and that would be a good thing. And we're only limited as an organization by the amount of capacity and resources we have to do it. The way that we run our programs actually costs a lot of money, so we're pretty dependent on support from the community, from businesses, and from community foundations and state and government grants to run our programs. And we really believe this is like a public service, that we need to be training young farmers and getting them ready to take over land. So clearly we could do more in that realm. I think the biggest challenges and what still vexes us is like how to deal with the costs and the financial side of things. So,
well, which raises a major question, because we've talked to a fair number of people about agriculture, certainly through the decades in America, and there was a real sense that farm policy in America was geared to get big or get out. And I'm hearing you talk about people who want fairly small-scale farms. So, I mean, has anybody found a sweet spot, particularly in Southern Oregon farming, that seems to work?
Sure.
You can pay the bills. You can have a little money left over.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, you could go down to any of your local farmers markets and see, you know, a dozen or more very successful small and medium-scale farms that are providing food primarily here to the local economy. I mean, you mentioned Fry Family Farm, obviously one of our shining examples here in the Southern Oregon. A very successful business and a growing business. You know, they developed a new food hub and a new distribution center. So clearly there's a way to succeed here. I think you mentioned, you know, sort of the policy implications. There are definitely policy implications that are very important for agriculture. And there's actually a bill right now in the Oregon legislature that we're promoting, which would fund the Oregon Agricultural Heritage Program, which is a bill that we actually helped pass last session with a pretty broad coalition of agricultural groups and conservation groups. And it's House Bill 2729. And basically, we're asking the legislature this session for funding for that program. And what that would do is it would create a grants program to fund conservation easements, succession planning, and conservation management plans. Because one thing we know, a one really important tool that can lock down farmland for in perpetuity is a conservation working lands easement. And we need more of those in Oregon because there is still huge pressure, like we were talking about before, to develop farmland, to move farmland into non-farm use. We have a great land use system, but it's not good enough. And so we need other tools, and policy is definitely an important tool that's going to help solve this problem.
Yeah, as the urban areas move out, you know, the urban areas move into the suburban areas move into the countryside, and away we go, and there are pressures for people to use farmland for things other than farmland. If it is so zoned, I mean, Oregon has a fair amount of EFU, exclusive farm use land, under the statewide land use planning goals, which I know bothers some farmers. They can't use their land for anything but farming.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm certainly no expert on the land use system or a policy wonk myself. I leave that to the real pros. But you know, it is true that, you know, there are problems with our one size fits all land use system that could be addressed through policy level decisions. I mean, this is a very complex social problem, and I think really what I want to kind of get to the point is this is a society wide problem. If we do not come up with solutions for how to successfully transition these 10.5 million acres in Oregon, and then, you know, the millions more across the country, we're going to have a problem with, we're going to be wholly dependent on a food system that is not local and regionally based. And I'm not sure for our regional security and our food security that that's a good path to go down.
Do people really have to love farming to be able to do it well or to stay with it over the years?
I would think so. Yeah, you really have to love the lifestyle and the work because it is probably one of the most challenging vocations out there. I think a lot of people find it to be one of the most authentic vocations out there too, because you can really see the fruits of your labor and feel good about what you do at the end of the day and know that you've worked hard for something that's important. Feeding people.
I think about it in the same breath as teaching, you know, because you spend your 5 days a week with the kids, but you also spend at least some time on the weekends. You spend off hours grading papers,
absolutely,
all that sort of thing. And so people don't do it for the money; they do it for the love, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a public service. There's no doubt about it.
So go ahead.
One thing that kind of strikes me about the work of farming is the constancy, the continuity, the patience. It's not something that you can do for a couple of years and get out. It's a really For many people, it's a lifetime of experience. So you're like 6 years on the goat dairy, right? It's just a slice. It's just
absolutely
a small point of time.
Yeah, I mean, we were beginners after 6 years still. I mean, you know, the USDA considers a beginning farmer somebody who's got 10 years of experience under their belt running an operation. And that's running their own operation. In our experience, you know, we get a first-generation person who wants to start farming. They come into our internship program for a season. Hopefully they come back and do our apprenticeship program for two more seasons. That's 3 years of training. They're still, most of the time, not ready to access their own farm and start their own farm business. They may move to an incubator farm. They may get employment on a farm for a number of years. I mean, we're talking about a long continuum journey to becoming a successful farmer. And like we were saying, since we have this need for all these new first-generation farmers to get into the business, we're talking about support systems that need to be in place for them for a long period of time to get their success.
And Rogue Farm Corps started 2003, was it?
2004 was when we got things started. We really started rolling with the programs the way they are operating now about a decade ago.
Okay. So any idea how many people have gone?
Yeah, we've got over 200 people that have graduated from our internship program over the years. You know, many of them are running and operating their own farm businesses. We've got one here locally by George Farm, if folks are familiar with. You might see them at the farmer's market. They started out as interns in our program a number of years ago, and now they're running their own operation. They're actually mentoring
interns.
They're
in the Applegate Valley, aren't they?
They are,
okay, yeah.
Mentoring interns and apprentices, so really full circle experience with those farmers.
So there are success stories to show. This is, you know,
absolutely.
Not just people here, but, you know, you got people who've made their farms and kept them.
Oh, absolutely.
Them.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of success happening. There's just the need is very high. So, you know, we need to really redouble our efforts, and we need everybody pulling together. We need the support of the community and everybody to really rally behind this issue if we want to have the kind of food system that I think most people want.
And just to reiterate, a lot of people who are getting into Rogue Farm Corps are people who don't have an ag background, didn't grow up on a farm?
Yeah, I would say most of them. I mean, I don't have, you know, numbers to share with you right now, but I mean, if I had to guess, I would say over 75% have no experience or very little experience and certainly didn't grow up on farms.
Do they have a natural affinity for it? I ask this because I had a roommate in college from New Jersey who we were passing by a field of cows once. He said, those are cows, right? He wasn't sure.
Right, yeah. I mean, they get into it because I think they have this idea that that hard work and farming is something that they want to do, that they really believe in. You know, certainly many people come into our internship program and spend a season working and training on a farm and decide at the end of that season that they're never going to do it again, that it's too hard, it's not for them, it's not their path. We find those to be success stories too, because that person has not spent the next 10 years of their life trying to start a farm, wasting a lot of time and resources and money. But I will say, even those people, their food purchasing choices and the way that they explore That's the true. Food system has changed forever, because they know in their bones what it takes to raise food. And I think very few people really understand what that means.
Do you have public demonstrations, public workshops, where people can get a sense of what you do at Rogue Farm Corps?
Well, we don't really have a lot of public workshops for the general.
We
do have a fundraiser. Thank you for reminding me, Maureen. I was going to mention that. We've got a benefit event this Sunday, actually, in Ashland on May 19th here in Ashland at the Sandwich Shop at 424 Bridge Street. We've got some live music. We'll have some great food, a bunch of farmers, a bunch of this year's interns and apprentices will be there. It's a great way to kick off the farming season and sort of celebrate the start of spring.
And what time of day is that?
It's going to be at 4 o'clock.
4 p.m. at Sandwich. Okay, which actually faces the boulevard, what?
Third one, right?
It's actually our fifth annual.
Fifth, yeah.
Okay.
Believe it or not,
yeah. All right. Rogue Farm Corps. This is where Stu O'Neill is the executive director. He's this month's guest in Stories of Southern Oregon, curated by Maureen Flanagan Battistella, also in the studio. Great to have you both here.
Thanks a lot.
Best of luck with the fundraiser on Sunday.